Everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 55 for the 10th of October 2009. I am David McVeigh, and I'm heading this madhouse today because we have no idea what's actually going to happen today. It's a little bit chaotic. We are joined in studio. We'll start with the known variables, and we'll get to the unknown variables in a second. We're joined in studio, first of all, by I almost did it again. Josh, how are you, Josh? Josh is our resident gaming geek and movie geek and tech geek, and I don't know how else we're going to introduce you, Josh.
That'll do, man. That'll do. And how am I? I am jet lagged as fuck. Now, I didn't even think that was possible when you're only flying to Queensland and back.
You can't get jet lagged going to Queensland.
You can. A, there is a time difference still, and B, it's still flight. And
it's flight a half an hour.
No,
time
I
difference.
Think the time difference he's talking about is when you go it's to Queensland, it becomes 1970.
That's ooh, true. Now, that moves, other so. Voice you just heard there is Dave Kozicki. See, I got it right. Thank you.
Only because I phonetically spelt it in the chat room, but we won't talk about that.
No. Dave is a freelance journalist who writes for games and porn, which I think is a lot of fun. You write for so many magazines, we won't go through them all, but basically every major gaming publication and Penthouse magazine, which is the most important one anyway. So,
and yes, I'm not fielding comments in the chat room about my funny man, funny people inspired Seth Rogen Super Jew t-shirt. So
we
all
love
you, the
that
happy
t-shirt.
Campers, hold off or I will blast you in the chat room. Okay.
All right. Now, yes, I love that t-shirt, and quite frankly, so does my mother. And just for Ben Straw, I think, in case he's going to join us in the chat room, Mirren may be joining us. Now, this is the unknown variable at this point. We're hoping she will join us for the film news section and the film reviews, so we'll stand by on that. So there may be a bit of a confusion in the middle of the show while we try and get Mirren up here. Now, what we're going to talk about this week, Oh, first of all, I think we really need to address the fact that there is a time difference. All right, so we are going out live. We go out live every week now. And for those who are joining us live and are in the chat room now, I assume you got the memo. But those who aren't in the chat room, we may get an influx of people in the chat room in an hour because we're actually at UTC plus 11 now because Australia just went into daylight savings time. So if you want to watch us live, you come to geekactually.com/live. Every Saturday morning, Australian Daylight Savings Time, not Australian Eastern Standard Time. It is now UTC plus 11, which works out to about 5 p.m. Pacific in the United States and 8 p.m. Eastern on Friday nights. All right, so if you want to join us, those are the times. We also have a little bit of news, which is we are going to be starting a second podcast. Now, this is going to be a gamer geek podcast. This will be exclusively video games and anything to do with video games. Josh will be hosting it. I'll be here, but Josh will be hosting it. And Dave will be running it with Josh. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be called Platforms, and it will be out sometime next week. We haven't got our RSS feed set up yet, so we haven't got a definite release date, but sometime this week. Yes.
And we will be going out live on Monday Australian time, probably about 7.
It'll be 7, about 7 p.m. on Australian...
Ish.
Daylight savings time. Now, we will put a post up on this. I haven't actually worked out all the UTCs and time zone differences and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we will put a post up on this sometime over the next 2 days to get you clear on all of this.
Yep.
If you go to the geekactually.com website, we've got three little panels on the bottom which feed news. One of those will become a dedicated platforms feed, and that's where all your platforms news will come out. Now, with all of that out of the way, we would normally go into a section that we call... Tell you what we're doing today, I guess. Let me tell you what we're doing today. First of all, Dave and Josh both have a ton of game news. Now, I've actually issued instructions there to keep it brief because they've got their own show. And so they're going...
Not yet.
So they're going to give us overviews today. And for more information on a lot of this, you can tune into Platforms next week. But for this show, we're going to talk a little bit about games. We have a little bit of tech and a little bit of entertainment. Look, it's been a wasteland. It's been a really news-free week this week. And it's really bad for us when there's not a lot of news. But when, you know, we get through it. We do have two film reviews this week. And it's kind of an interesting perspective because half of us have seen one film and the other half have seen the other. So it's going to be interesting. And if Mirren doesn't join us, I'll be doing one of the films on my own. But the two films we're going to review are Rian Johnson's new film, The Brothers Bloom, which will be Us Boys,
yep.
And mm-hmm. then the other film will be Mirren and me, and we'll be reviewing Nora Ephron's latest film, Julie and Julia, which I saw last night, which is not as bad and chick flicky as you might think. So I will come back to that later on. First of all, this is a section we usually call Go Us, but we don't actually have any Go Us news this week, but we do have feedback. And we will give a little bit of feedback here, which is from Fox over at Real Junkies. And he says, "Hi guys, Fox from Real Junkies again. Listening to Leo Laporte this week, an Australian caller claimed he had a bandwidth cap of about 250 megabytes per month. This seems immensely restrictive." Yeah. Yes. Is this true? And if so, how do you manage your podcast once a week? From last week's cast about Astro Boy, I just want to add that Disney did remake Kimba, the White Lion. It was called The Lion King. Ooh. I remember reading about lawsuits at the time, and it quietly got swept under the carpet. Also, I like the fact that you made Jar Jar Binks a verb. Thank you, Dave. As in, the Ninja Turtles were totally Jar Jar Binks from the original 80s comic. And he says, he doesn't even say keep up the good work. Okay, keep up the good work. I'll add that part. Right? 'Cause that sounds good.
I'm sure he meant it.
I'm sure he meant it. Okay, let's address these points. First of all, 250 megs download cap really sounds like a mobile account to me. It doesn't sound like a home account. Because
there are certain people that I know that are still on things like that. A lot of people that are that haven't actually thought about the fact, like the people that just, you know, standardly do that kind of a thing instead of actually checking out the fact that for the same money they're paying, they could get a better account.
Yeah.
There are still those ones in existence, but a lot of people don't, you know.
I'll put it this way, on ADSL or cable, I think minimum accounts are probably about a gig of data.
Jump in. For the non-tech savvy, sorry, Mum, but it is true. My mum got, I think it was like 1,500 kilobyte downloads as far as the speed goes for connection. She had a 400 megabyte.
Oh my god!
Limit. And she looked at me. And she's like, "Is that good?" I was like, "Mom, I would eat through that shit in like 20 minutes."
Look, I can eat through a gig in a day. I mean, easily, you know, a couple hours.
I can eat through a gig by the end of the show.
I'm sorry. You'll run up my cap. All right. Look, the bottom line is on most broadband accounts, ADSL or cable, you're probably looking at. Sorry, I'm just catching the chat room out of the corner of my eye.
So sorry, Dave. But heads up to Brad. Yes, I still have. I am dispensing with the brain aids for.
You don't understand what that reference is, go back and listen to our last after show where we did video game adaptations, and yes, brain aids came up in that show.
Anyway. Brain aids is the result of watching Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun-Li.
Yes.
Should have a health surgeon's warning on it. It doesn't. We're working on that. We will come back to you when we get
absolutely.
That
I have to give a shout out to my flatmate and editor at Penthouse, Suze, because I did actually steal brain aids from her. That is hers, and I wanted to announce
and
that.
To create a new verb, so you Lily Allen'd it from her, did you?
Yes, I did. And now I'm retiring from podcasts from now on.
Get back in here. All right. So I think I don't think we've answered this question at all. Now, look, the bottom line is I haven't had a restrictive account like that in a million years. I don't know. Most people will have a few gig up their sleeves. I'm on a pretty high account. This particular podcast goes on an account that has something in the lines of 70 gigabytes a month. So we have enough to get us through, although we do struggle on some months.
Which is all for streaming and legitimate downloads.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you also have to look at certain benefits. So when you actually get yourself an ISP, you want to make sure you get things like I'm with iiNet, we get free Xbox Live traffic, we get free iTunes traffic. So you want to try and find those accounts that offer you those bonuses that you're going to use.
And if you are a gamer, the Xbox Live thing does make a big difference.
Well, it does because you can start pulling down 2 gigabyte demos.
Well, interestingly enough, something I will be covering soon in the show is another reason to make sure that you get on iiNet as soon as you possibly can, or at least someone that has Xbox free traffic.
All right, we will come back to that in the gaming section. Second thing he addressed. His thing was Astro Boy, and he said that about Kimba the White Lion. Yeah, I agree. I think Lion King was a blatant ripoff of Kimba the White Lion. I don't remember the lawsuits, but I don't doubt you. I'm not in America, so we probably didn't get some of that news. But I don't doubt that at all. And the last thing was, yes, you Jar Jar Binks turning it into a verb. I think, yeah, Dave does that a lot.
Thank you, George Lucas, for, again, raping my childhood and giving me one verb that I can use out of that travesty.
Yeah, but we create verbs out of all sorts. You also said they Polanski'd my childhood. You know, it's like there's all sorts of ways that we can, all sorts of verbs we can come up with. All right, but we're going to move on. Thank you for the feedback. If you want to send feedback to the show, you send it feedback@geekactually.com. And if you are an iTunes listener, please put some feedback onto your iTunes store about the show in general.
We still need them.
Always encourage iTunes feedback because it helps us go up the ranks, puts us on the feature page. Page 4 of the Film and TV Podcast at the moment in Australian store. I'm happy about that. I would like to get to page 2 or page 1 or even onto the top 10 list. That would be lovely.
And all only right. Positive feedback, people. If you have anything that you want to say about, you know, perhaps special guest people who come in and shoot their mouth off, fire it at me. Don't fire it at Dave and Josh because they've been doing this for a while.
We've talked about that before. If it's a per episode feedback, send it to the feedback. If it's an overall feeling on the show, put it on iTunes. What the hell? All right, let's move into game news. Now, I'm going to let these two roll because they've got a ton of news to cover here. So I'm just going to let them roll in a second. I just got to say two hard pieces of news that came up. First one, of course, is our continuing coverage of Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead has, we got a rumor, a little birdie came to us and said that it looks like Left 4 Dead is getting released. I went and did some research and put up a blog post. I found one site that speculated that, yes, there is a cut version. Yesterday, news.com.au actually did finally release an article saying officially that the sequel to the popular video game has been modified so it can be sold in Australia to get an MA rating. Now, it says here that the board notes, and this is quote-unquote, the board notes that the game no longer contains depictions of decapitation, dismemberment, wound detail, or piles of dead bodies lying around the environment. It says no wound detail is shown, and the implicitly dead bodies and blood splatter and disappear as they touch the ground.
And this is absolutely horrible. Now, I will come back to this later on, but I will just say now that I actually played this exact build, and it is painful to play.
Oh, dear.
Because the whole feeling of a zombie-based game is that feeling that it's the intensity of the fact that you're seeing all these dead bodies just rack up in front of you. Mm. And it adds to the intensity of the situation. To watch them go away takes you out of the moment of the game. And I actually have to say that it really harms the feel of the game with that. And also, why the fuck are we taking it out when, can I just add that we actually already have this in Left 4 Dead 1.
Yeah.
This is like, this really annoys me because it's like, it's gone past the fact that we're fixing the issues. We are now fixing what they said was okay in the first game.
Mm. Okay, well, to be fair, Valve actually said in a press statement that I read the other day that actually says that they already had this cut version ready to go, and they didn't want to release this, but this is what they've resubmitted to the censorship board. But they are still apparently appealing original version.
And apparently there is a possibility we will get a different cut version of the same thing. All of this is only speculation, but either way, we will have a copy ready on day one.
Yeah,
Whether or not we will want to play it is another story.
Well, that's the cynical thing about this article. Basically, what Valve is saying is we throw this in front of the censorship board, we get this rated MA, that way we've at least got a release date, buys us time to run the appeal, but we still have a release date.
Look, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's another wonderful bit of OFLC gold, which you know, from my understanding of the board, doesn't even have a dedicated gamer in its ranks,
they don't understand games.
You know, I mean, the thing for me is, and David and I were talking about this outside the show, is I think that it's entirely plausible. And you know what? Usually I say I don't advocate this, but for Left 4 Dead, I do. Get it from New Zealand. Because if they're running the servers anyway so that you can play it online, it shouldn't make a difference where your copy comes from when you play it. So my recommendation would be import that bad boy from the UK
or from
New Zealand and play the full unabridged version.
Yeah, that's possibly bad news. There may be the possibility that they'll be getting the same version. this has happened before. This has actually come up before. New Zealand got the same copy that we did.
I'm sure the UK, though, would be unabridged. So.
And the US. The
why don't we well, just... Well, the US, we, it's US for... it's only 360 and PC, so...
But can I remember when Quake 2 came out. This is going back a little while ago, and they had the regioned versions, and we had to have an Asia Pacific version. Yeah. And I remember when it first came out, all you had to do on an import was change the region of your PC. You just go into the region settings and say, "I'm in the US."
Sorry, do people play games on PC?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to play Left 4 Dead on PC because you're going to play it on Steam.
Off topic, we don't know whether or not how that's going to work. Apparently. There may be some issues with that.
Now, the question of this raises...
None of this needs to be discussed, though, until we actually see
Look, and we'll discuss this in detail on platforms as well, but the biggest issue is the question that keeps coming up, which is on Steam, if you buy it through Steam, which is charging you in US dollars and it's coming from US servers, which version is going to come down via Steam?
Well, again, this is apparently something they're trying to organize before it comes out.
Yeah.
But they don't want they wouldn't let anything out at the time
because we'll keep our eyes on this and we'll really follow this because I think there's some bigger issues.
Just to let everyone know, Brad from Movie Fan House is taking orders from Australians for Left 4 Dead 2. So we will enjoy the influx of orders that will not be compatible with our systems. So thank you for nothing, Brad.
Oh, that's just cruel. All right, Brad, thank you for the offer, though. All right, now the second piece of gaming news that I have, and this will be real brief because this is a real what the, quite frankly. I'm bringing it up on screen now. Apparently, Rock Band is going to come out on the iPhone. I don't even know how they make this work. I mean, what?
This is
a screenshot.
What, the iPhone or just the games in general?
Yeah, we'd be a bit worried about you technically if you couldn't use an iPhone there, Dave. But no, the interesting thing about this is it's basically we already have Tap Tap Revenge, which was actually one of the first games that came out, and it looks to me like it's exactly the same.
Well, I'm basically looking at this screenshot that we've got on screen now, and you can find this. If you Google it, you'll find these screenshots. It's basically, you can see the fret line of the guitar and the four little buttons at the bottom of the screen. So you're obviously playing it like this, with your fingers tapping away on it at the bottom of the screen.
Which is Tap Tap Revenge.
Which is Tap Tap Revenge, and it's not simulating a guitar, which is kind of what you're supposed to be simulating.
It does beg the question of why we even bother.
And according to this article on Yahoo, who it actually says, Rock Band's unstoppable march towards dominating every gaming platform will soon include the iPhone. So they're basically it really is just a cynical attempt of the Rock Band creators to get this onto every single platform in existence. It doesn't matter whether it suits it or not, they just want to get it
there. I think you guys are missing the point that next month Steve Jobs will be announcing the iGuitar, which will be the attachment to go with the iPhone.
But
put the phone inside a guitar that you carry
around. Yes, but going in true Steve Jobs fashion, it will have no buttons. Because Steve Jobs doesn't like buttons. Okay, I'm going to throw tech news over to you guys. Which one of you wants to start? Not tech news. I take that back. Gaming news. Josh has just come back from a conference, and Dave, I believe, did some things as well. So what did you do, Dave? You went to events?
I can't speak. Oh, those things. Sorry, I thought you were talking about
something. Keep it.
Sorry, I thought you were referring to the other side of work. No, there were a bunch of games events on this week. There was, which I'll elaborate on after Josh gets his hit in, but we had a hands-on with Mass Effect 2 and Dragon Age Origins from BioWare, which was a hell of a lot of fun. I got to crank it out on DJ Hero, which I will elaborate in detail. And had a little bit of a muck around with Brutal Legend as well this week, and Assassin's Creed 2. So it's been a big week for gaming.
All these names jumping out, you do realize in the show notes of this episode, I'm just going to put Josh and Dave talk games.
basically the way we'll run this is basically I'll go through the list of everything that basically I saw that deserves a mention. Dave's nicely put little marks beside the ones that he wants to have a talk about, and basically I'll just move the camera over. I'll just move the conversation over to Dave, and he can speak his piece on
it. Now, remember, if the listeners there want any more details, because they're going to go over this pretty quickly because there's a lot of information. If you want more details on this, because I know we don't have not everybody is a gaming geek out there. If you want more information on this, listen to the Platforms podcast next week because it'll have detail on all this stuff. So this is just our overview for us, and take it away.
Well, yes. Like Dave was saying, I have just come back literally probably about 10 hours ago from a conference, a company conference, which we won't talk much about the conference itself, but basically I got to see a whole bunch of new stuff coming out. The stuff we'll be discussing is all, you know, stuff that a lot of people have already seen at the GDC, but just going into a bit of depth for us, and also just running over just some cool games that you guys have to keep your eyes out on. It was an amazing show. Like, I've been to quite a few of these now, and I have to say that it is amazing to see a show that really was all about the games. We weren't talking about consoles this year. We weren't talking about new stuff coming out. We were talking about using the platform that we have now and really pushing it as far as we possibly can. And I just thought that it was an amazing show, and tops to the people that actually organized it. The end of the year lineup for this year and start of next year is amazing. We just have a bunch of titles that will be coming out that will just kill, really, everything that we've seen so far. So we'll cut straight into it. We'll be nice and quick. I'm going to run over in a basic thing. You guys can feel free to ask questions if you want about them.
Sure.
So, I'm just going to blast straight into it. PS3 will go at the front of my list. PS3 is really pulling out the big guns. Ever since they dropped the new console, they're playing this very smart. New console comes out, $500 price point, and they are really milking that as far as they can. They're trying to push exclusives. They're trying to push games as hard as they can, and really staying off the tech side of things. They've released a lot of their big guns already and throwing those out. A few things. One, straight away for Dave, Play TV is now officially being released. We have a date. I'm not going to say it because I don't believe it, but it will be before the end of the year, they say. And it is apparently legitimately in the system now. So it sounds like we have a thumbs up for actually getting Play TV in Australia. So that'll be brilliant, because I know that that's already available elsewhere.
When is Netflix coming? That's what I want to know.
Getting to that. Would you fucking stop killing my thunder? Jeez.
Sorry, I just stole your byline. Sorry.
Okay, now. All right, next we'll just go straight into the games. First off, Heavy Rain. For anyone that didn't play the first game, Indigo Prophecy, known in this country as Fahrenheit, brilliant game, all story-driven. Dave can say from it, you played it.
I've actually given myself a media blackout on Heavy Rain, enforced, because I don't want to detract from the experience when I do actually get it.
Okay, well, look, Heavy Rain is amazing. Visually, when we first saw screens of this game, it was the most impressive thing we have seen in years. Mm. It was just photorealistic, and what they showed us was brilliant. Since then, you know, there's been a lot of time since we first got it announced. The graphics aren't, I'm definitely going to say they're still amazing. They're not, you know, sort of as groundbreaking as they were when we first saw it. But what really has killed and, you know, sort of made this the epic thing that it is just the way the game plays out. And I'll stay relatively brief, but what I was amazed on is this booth was set up with three different screens, and I had a quick go and then sat back and watched. And I watched three different people play exactly the same scene that was only 4 minutes long, but each person had a completely different story. And that was in the same scene in 4 minutes worth of gameplay.
Wow.
Yeah, just totally.
That's pretty in-depth storytelling.
Exactly. Like, they showed the way that the game pans out, and it's all like this giant diamond. And basically, the way that it is, the start and finish are still going to be the same, but everything that happens in between is different.
What?
And yeah, just literally down to the point that there was a bit in the scene where someone, you walk past, you're trying to sneak up on someone, and you walk past a shelf, and something drops off, and you have a second to grab something and put it back on the shelf, otherwise the guy turns around and sees you. And whether or not that happened, it didn't necessarily mean that was all that would happen. That then led to a whole new branch of storyline. So amazing storytelling and brilliantly visual. Incredibly adult as well. The scene that they actually showed us in an actual visual setting,
yep,
was just this really amazing scene where you were playing as a girl. It was very sexually orientated. And I have heard that apparently you can get her right down naked. And I don't mean that as in a yay nakedness.
Big question though, will that come out in Australia? Because we have a big thing about nudity and sexing games.
Because the original game had the exact same thing.
Oh, okay.
But this is a lot more visual, but it's actually just, it's not so much about the, you know, sort of, yeah, get the kid off. It's just the fact that it is a very adult storytelling experience.
Which yay, naked, I'll be there.
It does focus on the storytelling, though. That is the big thing. Mm. I mean, out of any game that I've seen or heard recently, Heavy Rain is mainly focused on telling a story and making sure that it is the most immersive. The way that they're coining it is it's the closest thing to an interactive movie experience that you'll get. Mm. And that is something that, and there is a level of maturity to it as well that you don't usually get in video games. So, you know, this could be the future of gaming. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Okay, well, look, I'm cutting straight into the next one. This is everyone's favorite game and a talk on everyone's sort of mind when we first got there, which is God of War.
Right.
I had hands-on with it.
Is this God of War 2?
This is 3.
3.
Visually, it is everything people expect. It is, in essence, still the same game. I'm not trying to pick holes in it. It's still the same kind of gameplay and everything like that. Visually, it is just amazing. It is brutal to a level that just has immediately raised issues with people all over the world.
Yeah, I'll be stunned if that makes it through. Well, I mean, it's Sony, so
certain
it will.
Certain scenes may struggle to make it through.
Look, I don't know what you played, but the part that I played is you go up against like a chimera or something, and it's like you slice off its tail, you cut off its wings,
that actually stands a better chance because it's a mythical creature. The zombies are what are the issue because they're humans.
Oh no, there's one scene in particular that we did where you actually rip someone's head off, and trust me, it is no way for the mild mannered. But yeah, no, brilliant. Anything on that one, Dave?
I don't know. I've got to be honest. I've seen Darksiders and I've seen God of War 3, and it's really tough because Darksiders has a fresh and new edge to it, and it's got an open world RPG elements, whereas God of War is incredibly linear.
Mm.
And God of War to me feels like what they did with Halo 3, which is just it's Halo HD. You know, it's the same gameplay. There's nothing really that's changed too much about God of War. It's just slick. Look, it runs like a dream. It's a beautiful game. I will play the shit out of it. No doubt, but at the same time, I don't think that it's a massive leap forward for the series as much as, say, something like Darksiders would be for the genre or other games.
Yeah,
exactly. Not to detract from it,
yeah,
but, you know.
Darksiders we'll come back to soon, and I totally agree with Dave on that one. All right,
Josh, because we're already running along and we only just started.
Oh, that was because you were late this morning, remember? Yeah. 15
That's
minutes.
You were late this morning.
Yeah, okay. Drake's, just for anyone that has a PS3, get that game. I'm not going to run into much detail. It comes out in about a week. It looks fantastic, and it is one of the smoothest games I have played on the PS3. A quick one, iPad. Keep your eyes on this. This is the future of gaming. This game is
iPad?
Yes. Yeah. I know the game sounds bad. You know me. I'm not into this sort of thing. But having a game where you visually interact with something on the screen, I have never seen anything like this. The game and you interact absolutely stunningly, and your menu is literally a piece of cardboard that you put on the table, and it recognizes from any angle.
Oh, this is the one they showed in the demo Project Natal.
Yeah.
Exactly. No. Project Natal's Xbox. This is totally different.
Oh, no, so the Nintendo. It was Nintendo.
No, this is Sony.
PS3.
It's anyway, with the iToy?
I knew it was a camera. It's the iToy camera, that's right.
And basically, when you put this piece of cardboard on the ground, it becomes a menu that you scroll through by moving your hand left and right.
If you go to YouTube, you can see the demo of this.
This has been announced before. I have another one. This has not been announced in Australia. I cannot guarantee this is actually happening. Nothing was stated by Sony, but I have seen a rumor while I was there in something that we found that there is a possibility of Comic Store coming out and then also possibly coming to Australia. So this would be basically where you digital download comics.
So which Marvel is running now, but it's kind of a weak service because they haven't got everything digitized. So.
But dude, the whole thing is you got to drop something like this before it starts to expand.
Yeah.
So we will see whether or not we get that. Okay, moving straight on to Xbox. A new update will be coming eventually. Facebook and Twitter will be announced. We've already had that announced, so I won't go into too much detail on that. Netflix. We will be getting it in Australia.
That time.
and it will be coming hopefully in November. Hopefully.
Wow, that's soon.
They did say that was very soon.
Yeah, for the people who are in the States, because they've already got this, is Netflix Watch Instantly streamed media. Yep. We don't have Netflix in Australia.
Yes.
And so this is actually a very big thing. Mm. And once again, if you're an iiNet subscriber, this is
amazing.
Awesome.
It was very cheap. They were saying movies started at about $3.75 or something like that. So definitely decent priced. Can be paid for via Microsoft points, which you can either buy in a store or you can actually buy online.
Sorry, I'm just saying, Brad from Movie Fan House in our chat room is just basically saying, welcome to the year 2009.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, cheers. Brad, we actually found out that JFK got shot. We just found that out yesterday. Which
that's news for the later bit. That's film news.
I know we live at the asshole end of the world, and if we're not at the asshole end of the world, we are damn close to it. So,
Okay, Forza 3, quickly, amazing for a car game. I'm not really into it, but I haven't had the experience I've had since Gran Turismo 2 on PlayStation 1, like this, like just where it, we don't have time for this, Dave. It was an amazing feeling. It was that racing feeling that I've missed since that game.
I'm with Dave, though. I find car racing games kind of boring as batshit.
No, look, Burnout rocks, but Gran Turismo, Need for Speed, Shift, all of these ones which are going for the realistic experience, if I wanted that, I'd hire a fucking Lamborghini cars. And go around a track.
Look, last decent car game I played, and I'm sure you guys have played others, but the last one that I actually really enjoyed was Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, and that was it. I was obsessed by that game. I used to play the police cars and put the spikes on the roads, and I enjoyed that, and that was it. You know, for me, that was the end of it. You know, car games, you go round and round and round and round. And round.
All right, okay.
We have to move on because Josh has got like 18,000 things. He's forgotten that we have a new show.
That's okay. We're gonna cut him short in a second because he's got his own show to bring this up.
Exactly. The whole thing is, man, that I'm just trying to cut through it, but we keep going into conversations about the games. If you'd let me go through them, we'd get through this
bullet points aren't interesting, man. I mean, chat room, back me up on this, and let's all just rip Josh.
Do you want me to stop?
No.
Okay. Cool. All right. Look, Wii's pushing hard this year, harder than they ever actually have. We will come back to that, but it seems like we're being cut off, so I'm trying to cut to the important points.
So you just cut off the parts where I'm meant to interact. Okay, no, that's fine.
I'm just giving the wrap-up signal here.
All right, well, look, Wii's pushing hard this year. There are a lot of titles coming out, and they are trying to branch into things that I actually would consider innovative as opposed to what they have already. DS was really a no-show this year. Really, there was almost nothing
there. Is the DS dying?
I don't think the DS is dying. I think we're going to see an interesting movement towards other directions because the whole problem with the DS and the DSi is that they are not ready for this sort of branching out social interactive thing that we are trying to push with every other console at the moment. And because it can't run movies and things like this, it isn't so much of a storage device. DSi is helping with that, but I think that the games are becoming very shovelware-ish, and we haven't really got into that. And
Sorry to interrupt, but I think I kind of disagree, man, with you on that. I mean, I think the PSP is, and I mean, I'm not a fan of the PSP Go and the new PSP. I think the games that they have for the NDS, I mean, okay, maybe they're not evolutionary or anything like that, but
the problem is that we're starting to get to the point where the innovation has gone away from them, and though the games are fun and quick and interesting and they will still continue to sell, they are not as innovative and special as they were when they first came out.
They're starting to. I mean, the new Kingdom Hearts has got, you know, like a four-player multiplayer.
I totally agree with you in that sort of an aspect. But what I'm saying is if you move into, say, PSP, PSP has upped the stakes ridiculously. What I saw at that show just blew my mind. I was like, wow, PSP is going to force its way back into the industry. It is going to cut its way through and try and pull back the industry it has really lost.
And PSP has been a struggling platform for a long time.
And it is not going to happen in the Go. And I'm telling you that now. The Go is not as... I have the specs for it now. I have seen what it's capable of. And I am really disappointed. It is not the unit I wanted. It is really trying to take it in a different direction that cuts out a lot of things.
Would it be a fair assessment? We'll talk about more of this in platforms as well. But would it be a fair assessment to say that the Go is really PlayStation or Sony's attempt to cash in on the iPhone's App Store?
No, honestly, I believe what they are trying to do is they're trying to push for sort of your Asian market kind of thing, sort of stuff, and they're really trying to. They're really trying to push towards that sort of a thing, and for that atmosphere, it will be fantastic. But yeah, no,
they're trying to DS it, man. You look at it; it was smaller. I mean, they've put the nub even closer to your face buttons and everything, which is just ridiculous. I mean, the thing it is awkward. I mean, you've played it, right? It's awkward to use, man. It's not a comfortable gaming platform. You know, the instead of working a second nub in, which they should have done on the new PSP, so you can at least get some sort of
first-person shooter thing going on and some free camera movement. They've made it smaller and, as I said, put everything closer together so it is ridiculously uncomfortable to use for any extended period of time.
Definitely an interesting choice. We will see how that will pan out over time, but we won't go into a huge amount of detail. We will, of course, leave a lot of this until platforms.
Absolutely.
Basically, just a couple of special mentions. Just a couple of my top picks. Definitely, like I said, Heavy Rain, Borderlands, which me and Dave have both played. We'll probably have to save a lot of this until...
we'll do platforms.
When we're doing it in platforms. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, Modern Warfare 2, still the standout game while it was there. DJ Hero, amazingly good fun. I will run over that a lot more in platforms.
Same here.
There are a bunch
How
of
many
other
times
games.
Can mention the word platforms in the next 30 seconds?
We are pushing through things a lot faster than I'd hoped. But the other thing that I will just say is this is the big one for Dave especially. I had mentioned that...
That Dave or me, Dave?
You, Dave.
Oh, me, Dave. Okay.
We had talked before about Avatar the game, and
yes.
there was footage already at GDC. I saw a large presentation of it and thought, oh wow, this is pretty cool. You know, it's very visually nice. I only really understood the amazingness of this game when we actually played it in 3D.
Yeah,
on a 3D TV. When I sat down in front of this giant TV and played it with the glasses on. It was not the experience of the game. The game itself has a lot of flaws, a lot of things that aren't great about it, but playing this game in 3D with the imagery, with the character sticking out, with the, you know, with the actual environment coming to life through the TV, it is an amazing step forward. And I see
But the question that needs to be answered is how many people are going to have a big screen 3D TV?
Well, interestingly
enough...
You mean
you don't?
We were talking about that, and the interesting thing was I was talking about one of the guys, and I asked how much the TV that they were using was
20,
worth.
20,000?
Well, it was... Yes, it was. It was a giant 56-inch 3D TV. But, look, dude, this is the start of this. We've seen
we talked on the show a few weeks ago about the concept of 3D TVs. They are developing them, but it's going to be a while for that technology to be adapted to create a game that is...
Dude, it is in both, though.
But will the game be as impressive if you're not on the big screen 3D?
Look, it's one of those things where maybe it won't sell that way, but the point is it's a start point. It came out and it's happened, and we've seen it in cinemas. We are pushing towards that direction, and it may be one of those titles that you will pick up when you first get your TV to I'm losing focus.
That's okay. We're gonna move on anyway. I got you sidetracked with 3D big screen TVs. Listen, we're gonna throw ourselves into tech news because we're gonna come back to games and platforms because there's so much gaming news and we're already.
Sorry, Josh.
Mirren has just entered the studio, so Mirren will be with us for the film news. But we're gonna kick through tech. Really fast, because basically our games took up our tech section, but that's all right. That's okay, because we really have no tech news anyway. So we're going to move ourselves on. I'm sorry to cut you off, Josh, but we are running long. So we will come back on this. So first of all, let's roll ourselves into tech news. And I'm just going to run through a couple of really quick things here. First of all, I just want to say that for any of our international listeners and our Australian listeners, the Amazon Kindle e-reader is finally coming to Australia. In fact, it's going international. They're releasing a special international version. AT&T has made arrangements to work with all of their overseas affiliates. Funnily enough, we don't get stiffed for once. The only country that isn't getting it is Canada. So all I can say to that is blame Canada. No, apparently Canada's entire telecommunications and cable TV and everything is all wrapped up by one company, which is Rogers. And they and AT&T apparently have some sort of problem. And so Rogers isn't going to this plan of bringing this free wireless for the Kindle reader, so Kindle's not going to Canada. But, you know, you're over the border. Go buy yourself an American one. You know, what the hell? All right, anyway, so we'll move on past there. My wife is very excited by this because she loves the look of the Kindle, so hopefully we'll see what happens with that.
Kindle books!
I don't even know if you can hear Mirren. She's yelling from the other side of the studio. We will put her on camera in a minute. First of all, secondly, we've got a little piece of news here. Silicon.com every year puts out what they call their agenda setters list. And I'm not going to go through this whole list because really, who cares? The thing that I found most important about this, though, was these are the agenda setters. These are the people who are the driving our technological world. And of course, Steve Jobs comes in at number one, which is no big surprise. But what is a big surprise is that Microsoft's not even on the list.
So it's not really a surprise.
With Windows 7 coming out and the fact that 90% of the world is on Windows machines, if you'd think that they would at least make an appearance.
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I felt this weird feeling when I was sitting at Microsoft's booth where this is the second time in a row that they have shown us nothing. And I mean, this is just one part of their, this is just one part of their thing. I'm not saying that they are, you know, sort of like, you know, incapable of, you know, other things with computers and so on and so forth. But I really got the feeling sitting there that was the first time I've ever thought about it in my mind, going, wow, this booth is really pretty, but they have nothing to show us.
Maybe that's their new marketing strategy. Well, you know, that way they don't have to peg anything down. It's like, we're showing you fucking nothing. You don't have to worry, but it'll be out in 2010.
Hey, do you know what?
Windows nothing coming to
you might be onto something
PC.
There, because they have been, Microsoft has been forever criticized about vaporware. They keep announcing stuff, and then it doesn't happen. Everybody goes, oh, Microsoft vaporware. Maybe their new strategy is just don't announce it.
Maybe it's the Seinfeld of computers.
The computer company.
The computer company.
I just highlight this. People who made this list. So Microsoft didn't make this list, but people who did make this list would be the Twitter CEO Evan Williams, Eric Schmidt's Google CEO, the Wikipedia boss Jim Wales, Barack Obama made the list as somebody who is driving technology. Rupert Murdoch, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, and even if you go into the honorary mentions after you get past the top 10, Stephen Fry made this list. But Microsoft couldn't make this list. All right.
So.
All right, we got the stalls, the cheap seats over here are yelling at us over here. We will get you in 2 seconds. Hold on 1 second. First of all, I just want to bring up a little graphic on screen because this actually made me giggle.
Brad's making me giggle with what he's writing in the chat room here. Way to suck up, Brad.
Oh, yeah. I wish I was on the list. All right, so I brought up a little graphic here for those in our chat room. It's just a laptop and a Mac talking to each other. But the reason I bring this up is because the MPD group in America on Monday came out with an online survey that found that 12% of households with a computer have at least one Mac, and this is up from 9% last year. But the interesting part of this is that nearly 85% of those with a Mac also have a PC. So I think that was kind of intriguing.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, if you buy two cars, you know, you have your Ferrari and then you have your broken-down Volkswagen that's sitting in the corner with a bucket and, you know, no hole hole in the floor.
Fair enough. It also goes on to state that Mac owners tend to have more computers and more electronic devices than non-Mac owners.
And more brains.
And, in fact, two-thirds of those with an Apple machine have three or more computers compared to the 29% of Windows users. Let me see. Maybe they've got a point.
They could.
It also says households with Macs also tend to be home to twice as many gadgets, including iPods, GPSs, etc. And I said to Josh, I think it really comes down to, on the most part, and I mean, there's exceptions to all rules, like myself, but there are exceptions, but on the most part, I think it's because people who have Macs generally have slightly more disposable income, I think would be the issue.
And are awesome.
And we're going to roll into very quickly straight off that because Apple has actually come out with a new ad, and I love the Apple ads, and I thought we'd just play this very quickly on the show because they only came out with one. They normally come out with a bunch, like three. But
is it another Justin Long?
Yes, it is, and here it comes.
Hello, I'm a Mac. And I'm a PC, and here at PC Innovations Lab...
Wait, PC Innovations Lab?
Well, you know how you have your patented MagSafe cord that pops out anytime someone trips over it?
Sure.
Well, we're protecting PCs with this new air-cushioned enclosure.
It's bubble wrap.
And you know how you have your revolutionary new battery that lasts almost an entire workday?
Mm.
Well, we are offering this new extremely long cord.
PC, shouldn't innovations make people's lives easier?
Well, that's exactly why we've developed these. Cheers to innovation.
Okay, so that's the new Apple Mac ad. I thought that was quite cute. I've got a black screen. There we go. I thought that was quite cute. I like the fact that the guy's wrapped in bubble wrap and Justin Long just goes, that's bubble wrap. You know? I just love Justin Long makes those ads because he just his reactions to it's like, yeah, okay, you dude. All right, last one in tech. We're moving through tech very quickly. The last one in tech is going to be what people are really searching for on Wikipedia. And this... just blew my mind because it kind of highlights. I don't want to sound like I'm insulting anybody.
Is it Google? Are people typing in Google?
No, but they're typing in Wikipedia. It's like the Google list came out where they said, what are people searching for? And the number one search request was Google, you know? And here they're saying, let's see, number one is Wiki. Number two is the Beatles. Number three is Michael Jackson. Then Favicom. Then YouTube. And all I can think about YouTube is, were they just typing it in the wrong field?
Yeah.
You know?
I was thinking that about the Michael Jackson. Or were they looking for a pedophile and couldn't find
who knows? Number six was Wikipedia. Number seven, Barack Obama. Number 10, we'll just skip down because there's deaths in 2009. United States. Number 10, Facebook. So of the top 10, you've got Wikipedia, YouTube, and Facebook. Why are we looking these up on Wikipedia? All I can think is they're typing in the wrong field.
Do monkeys count in this experiment? Because I think the US military might be having, you know, like rooms with thousands of monkeys just typing random search engines.
It is very possible.
I know that Michael Bay uses that to come up with his plot. So I think that they may be doing something similar and trying to weaponize monkeys through Wikipedia. You heard it first here on...
All right, we're going to go into film news. This conversation is degenerating quickly. So so we're going to move into entertainment news, and we are going to be joined by Mirren Lee. So if you hear a bit of bumping around during this, it's just we're getting seating. So here we go, and into film and entertainment. And on to entertainment news. And for entertainment news, we are joined by the supreme being, ex-agent, actress, voiceover artist, dialect coach, and, of course, my mom.
Where? Oh, here.
My mom, Mirren Lee. Long time no see.
Hi. I have an ERTI. That's an upper respiratory tract infection, for those of you that don't know. But I thought it would sound good for Ben. Hi, Ben. I've really missed you out there. Are you out there, Ben?
And you know what? And it's the one time that Ben is not in the chat room.
Ben. I was here for you.
Ben, for those who are long-term listeners, will know we're talking about Ben Straw from BensTechShow.com. And he's a big fan of Mirren, but he will listen to our audio podcast. And for Ben, Mirren is back.
But I figured I could struggle through. If Dave could struggle through and he was sick, I think I can struggle through because I'm superior because I'm a woman. Okay, here we go.
All right, can we actually get on to some entertainment news?
What? Oh, Josh, get a grip. What?
Let's get on to some entertainment news, shall we?
No, I do.
Can I start us off?
Let me start the timing.
Well, no, he's doing something.
All right, I'm going to start us off by saying that the most ridiculous piece of casting I have heard in probably the last year, maybe that's going too far, but it's in a long time, has to be that on the Robert Rodriguez-produced remake of Predator, which is being called Predators, so obviously they're adding more than one, they have now cast in the original role played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, Adrian Brody.
Oh, dear God. What has happened to Adrian Brody's career?
Genius.
He can stab. He can stab the Predator with his nose. And just so you know, the Predator would definitely be Rose McGowan. Absolutely, 100%. Because it is Robert Rodriguez. So that is
good.
My hit prediction. Okay. And she'll get a kid off at some point.
You're right. Sounds good. Okay.
All right. So, and the second piece of casting, which isn't so ridiculous, is that Stellan Skarsgård, who I really like Stellan Skarsgård, and he was even in that film that nobody liked, Mamma Mia, but he's been cast in the new Thor film, and considering that his background, this really does seem appropriate, don't you think?
The Norse god himself.
I don't think he's actually playing the Norse god, but I tell you what is also in this article that came from Crave Online, comingsoon.net, it actually finally give us the synopsis to Thor, and I'm actually a little bit happier because I remember reading...
There's a synopsis?
Of course there's a synopsis. It's still a story. Now, when we first read about...
They get hammered.
When they first mentioned Thor as a film, they basically said, oh, we're just going to really concentrate on the mythology and the Asgardian side of it. And I thought, but, you know, where's Dr. Donald Blake and the turning into Thor and all this sort of... Anyway, apparently that is. It says here, according to the official synopsis, says, the epic adventure spans the Marvel Universe from present-day Earth to the realm of Asgard. At the center of the story is mighty Thor, a powerful but arrogant warrior whose reckless actions reignite an ancient war. Thor is cast down to Earth and forced to live among humans as punishment. Once here, Thor learns what it takes to be a true hero when the most dangerous villain of his world sends the darkest forces of Asgard to invade Earth. So they are sticking with the comic books.
See, I'm not a geek, I'm an eek. So I hear shit like that and I go, eek! Can we just stop with the comics?
No, no, we like comics.
Miren, you have no idea what you're talking about right now. And you know what? Fuck Asgardian. Fuck Asgardian stuff. We need Skarsgardian stuff. And what I'm saying is Alexander Skarsgard as Thor. That is my hit prediction. Get the Iceman. Get
no,
Eric
we've already
Kudlow.
Got Thor cast.
I don't care who it is, okay? Look, give me a telephone. I will talk
Thor,
to you.
Thor is actually being played by Chris Hemsworth, who is Australian. And for those who know or saw Star Trek, he played Kirk's father in the opening scene.
We've got to stop letting the Australians go to America. We just have to do that. It's ridiculous. Okay.
So all right, so moving on.
We have to make American programming good, which is why we send us over there.
Dave.
First thing you do when you get there is you train.
Well, there goes our peak meter with that laugh. Dave, this one's for you. They finally released the full synopsis of the new Resident Evil movie. Mm. And I'm very disappointed. And I'm going to read you this synopsis, and you tell me why I'm disappointed. And I think it'll be the same reason for you. Screen Gems has provided the plot. It says, August 27, 2010, the film goes as follows. In a world ravaged by a virus infection, turning its victims into the undead, Alice continues on her journey to find survivors and lead them to safety. Her deadly battle with the Umbrella Corporation reaches new heights, but Alice gets some unexpected help from an old friend. A new lead that promises a safe haven from the undead leads them to Los Angeles, but when they arrive, the city is overrun by millions of undead, and Alice and her comrades are about to step into a deadly trap. What is missing from that synopsis?
Thousands and thousands of naked Miller clones.
Absolutely. I want the Miller clones. Where are the clones, goddammit?
What the fuck? I mean, seriously, all I was expecting was Miller to run around in a belt with, you know, two automatic weapons and a sword.
I thought you were different. I thought you didn't think with your dick. I had such high hopes for you.
I'm a man. We only think with our dicks.
We're ruled by
and I work for Penthouse, so it's
Of course.
I mean, really
I have blonde jokes,
your expectations were way too high.
Mike in our chat room says the best thing to come out of Australia is Kim Johnson. Who is Kim Johnson?
Who the fuck is Kim? Is that your sister?
Yeah, no. Send a picture.
Does she have millions of naked clones?
Tie me, because I think this show should be relevant.
All right, go on. Mirren's jumping in.
Just so you know, Ben is in the chat room.
Ben. Hi, Ben. Love you. Can't wait to meet.
All right, come on.
19 seconds.
Because I think you should have a well-rounded education. I have three pieces of news.
Oh, please do. Bring it forward.
Okay, first news, and go. Politics. Beep, 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 beep. Barack Obama gets a Nobel Prize after ordering more troops into Afghanistan.
Yay, America.
These are things that make you go, okay? woman... upset because
can I actually add to your politics one? I think this is really fast.
No. Are we supposed to?
Pause the clock for a minute. I also love the fact that we've actually stretched ourselves so thin. The Americans have stretched themselves so thin with troops that now that a true, clear, and present danger has come up, as in Iran has nuclear weapons, we don't have any troops to send over there.
Well, yeah, there is that.
All right, continue on.
Yes. Okay. And in world news, a woman who thinks her husband is having an affair poisons two children, 2 and 4, son and daughter, with rat poison to get back at him. Court says she may be insane.
I think she's just a woman.
PMS. Okay, and last one, which is, I thought this was so sweet in show business news, as you all must have seen. Guy Ritchie said, Madonna is retarded, but he still loves her. Did I do it
under
30 seconds?
No, not even close.
Oh, fuck you.
It was like at least 4.5 minutes.
And now for my three blonde
jokes. Oh, God, we've missed you.
When we talk about politically incorrect, I want you to remember that blondes have had it. You know, we're going to talk about that politically incorrect thing.
For those who are looking, Mirren is a blonde.
So. Okay. Well, sort of, you know, the rugs don't match the curtains, but never mind. I just want to say.
I can't believe she beat me to that. I was just about to let that one fly.
Since Helena Troy was blamed for, you know, downing 100,000 ships or whatever, I mean, as if anyone could do that. Blondes have had
I think
tough.
I think she could. It'd take
Went
a lot
on
of time.
Went down 100,000 ships.
Yeah,
okay.
It'd take a while.
All right, my three blonde jokes. How can you tell a blonde has been using the computer? The joystick is wet.
Oh.
Okay.
I was about to say the Tippex on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Mine was better, though.
Yeah, yours was better.
What does a blonde say after sex? Thanks, guys. Okay, and the last one.
Or what was your name?
Yeah, yeah. And the last one is, this is politically incorrect for both sides. What do blondes and black men have in common? They both have black roots. Yay!
Oh, God.
Oh, we just took a turn into a whole different area.
I was wondering.
I think this might be a good time to remind everyone we have an explicit tag on our show notes.
We have an explicit tag.
Tag is rated explicit because of Mirren.
And we just can't do without an explicit tag.
Oh!
I was
going to ask Mirren
if
that last joke, if she knew that from personal experience. But I thought that might be wrong to say. With Dave in the room. But then again, after talking to Mirren, since we've been, you know, steadfast friends for the last
20 minutes.
3 minutes, I figured that I could go there.
I got to tell you, there is nothing as growing up as the son of Mirren that I have not heard.
Right? I had him during the Summer of Love. That explains a lot, right?
Okay.
All right, I'm done.
All right, where were we?
I believe we were doing a show somewhere.
All right, let's see if we...
You guys are going to discuss...
Nothing I have
to
compete with
this.
You're going
to discuss the Bloom Brothers because it looked boring.
Yeah, you know, we actually got another news story. We've got two more news stories.
Fuck the news.
All right, just one real quick one because this is actually going to voice my disappointment. And this will actually, I think, what the person in this actually will lead into something else Mirren wants to talk about. But first of all, Bill Condon is actually producing and directing a Richard Pryor biopic, which I was really looking forward to. Oh, Eddie Murphy was signed to actually be in this.
What a stretch.
And Eddie Murphy Eddie Murphy would have been perfect for it. And Bill Condon,
yeah,
let's remember.
He just stole his whole career.
Well,
so
and Eddie Murphy actually.
Probably, for a hit.
And Eddie Murphy publicly says that, Richard Pryor was his absolute inspiration and everything else about his life.
No shit.
And Bill Condon is the last person to get a truly good performance out of Eddie Murphy with Dreamgirls, which he was sensational in. Well, Eddie Murphy could not come to a deal with the studios. He is out. And so Bill Condon has cast Marlon Wayans.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
God.
There is a real problem with this casting. Marlon Wayans is no Eddie Murphy and no Richard Pryor. And
look, it should be Nicolas Cage. That's all I'm saying.
No, Robert Downey Jr. in blackface. That's what I say. Oh, my God.
That's a good idea. Mesh them together. Yes, Nicolas Cage with the blackface Richard Pryor. That is a movie
I would stab myself.
And speaking of blackface, this is one of the reasons we brought up Marlon Wayans as well, because Josh and I thought of something downstairs about this man as well. Now, Hey Hey It's Saturday was a long-running live 38 years on television in Australia's variety show, and hosted by a man and a puppet emu. Go figure. But
by the way, I have nothing in my
ostrich.
Head.
Sorry.
By the way, why am I wearing these headphones? There's nothing in them.
So that you can hear clips when we play clips.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you have no volume turn up. Give some of us
a volume. There I am.
Now,
you there?
Hey Hey It's Saturday has been off air now for how many years?
Oh, 100.
Is it 12 years? What is it that they've been off here? Anyway, yeah. they came off. They've come back this year for a couple of reunion specials because of popular demand. Blah, blah, blah. This is just really for the American audience. Who
because
don't
they have mad cow disease and they're insane.
And they forgot that their ratings fell and that they were no longer relevant.
Yes.
Anyway, in the Hey Hey reunion special this week, they have a section called Red Faces where people come out and do like a gong show type thing. They brought back some people who did the same routine, I think it was 12 years ago. When they were medical students, and they're all doctors now, and they came back and did the same routine. And it was actually a send-up of the Jackson 5, and they did it in blackface.
Except for
the guy who's playing Michael, who he's in whiteface.
Which is
right?
Pretty funny.
And it's actually mildly amusing in its own right.
Was he raping a 10-year-old?
Oh, you went
too
there.
Too soon. That's the problem. It's too soon.
Now, we all know that, you know, the whole blackface and gollywog thing is racially offensive. But
why? I don't believe in politically incorrect. Yeah. Bill Maher is my idol. I'm sorry. This is what... So don't make assumptions like that because that irritates me.
And
because
I believe you should be talking to your mammy.
Because the minute you start censoring comedy like that, then it's exactly what Lenny Bruce fought against, and I'll shut up in a minute. But honestly, it pisses me off because where do you draw the line? As long as we make fun of everybody, it should be okay. And I just think that black people make enough fun of themselves by hiring Martin Lawrence and half the Wayans brothers and having Sherry Shepherd try to be intelligent on The View. I mean, I ask you, okay.
Now, what's interesting is Atomic Betty in our chat room has just said we're a bit sensitive about the blackface in Oz at the moment. But the problem is it's not actually in Oz that were really sensitive. What happened was Harry Connick Jr. was one of the judges on the Red Faces, and it's gotten back to the States, and apparently it's run like wildfire.
After he did a parody of a Southern preacher.
And I bring up Marlon Wayans, because as we pointed out, Marlon Wayans and his brother actually put on whiteface and...
I'm offended.
I was so offended.
And weren't they blonde? Were they blonde?
It brought me back to the days of being white and having slaves.
Yes, exactly. Me too.
It was so offensive.
I just look at it and go, I think this whole thing has been blown way out of proportion, and I think it should be stated that, you know, I don't care that much about all of this. I can't believe
they weren't making fun of black people. They were making fun of the Jackson Five and Michael Jackson.
They were making fun of the Jackson, and they were actually reprising a sketch that they did 12 years ago.
And the big crime was, it was terrible, but it was Red Faces.
That's
it
right.
It was Gong
and
Show.
Red Faces has always been known to be off color and terrible. And
that was the fun of it.
And that was the fun of it. And, you know, it was the reactions to it. And I think Harry Connick Jr. took this all entirely the wrong way.
But Sherry Shepherd had the audacity to discuss it on The View, saying, I have friends in Australia who are tweeting me. And then, Sherry, go fall off the earth because you think it's flat. Go away. I do not understand this.
I think she could eat the earth, actually.
And she believes
it. Now, that's against fat people. Stop that. Oh, my God.
No, I hate everyone. I don't just hate
fat people. Oh, God. Oh, can we go over here and talk? I hate you. Can we go over here and talk?
And I think Sherry Shepherd can go and talk to her unicorns. Okay. Anyway, so that's my two bits on that. I just think this whole thing has been blown completely
out of proportion. And because people... It's a slow news week, and people love being self-righteous.
Absolutely. And because it's a slow news week, we're also going to bring up David Letterman really quickly, who, of course, slept with all of his interns, apparently.
Oh, what a shock.
But the thing is, he came out and basically...
We sleep with whom we work. Do you want to sleep with me, David? Oh, sorry.
Off camera. Off camera.
No, we'll just clear the desk.
I'll show you my carpet.
Oh, please. Please,
I think
guys.
Josh is over here melting. Sorry.
No. I was just about to say, I think that's my cue to just leave.
Yeah, is your mother still watching, Josh?
He's so young.
He is, you know.
I just want to make sure, Josh, you're still on the show. Yeah?
No, I'm still here.
You're still here.
Okay. I'm just monitoring the chat room. There is far too much energy in this room right now. I don't want to infringe on this. This is brilliant. Let's just keep this running.
I'm so happy that you know your place.
I do.
Two last things, and we're going to review some films. Firstly, the David Letterman thing. Somebody tried to blackmail him.
I sleep with David.
Somebody tried to blackmail him.
You talking about me?
No. I sleep with
Ben. Ben is very upset right now, by the way, just so you know.
Why?
Because of your conversation, you know, like, he thought you loved him.
Ben, I do. I'd show you my carpeting first of all. I love you.
There we go. Don't believe her, Ben. She sounds like a tramp to me. I'm sorry.
Slut, 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 slut.
And you guys thought that I would be the lowest common denominator.
Never.
Compared to Mirren, I'm insignificant.
Hey! There it goes again.
Compared to you, I'm top cunt.
And I think we've just lost all of our American listeners.
I'll get a grip.
Wait, I can make sure of it. Brain AIDS.
Now gone.
Bye, America. Oh yeah, and I hate the military, and you shouldn't be invading other countries.
There you go. We got one. Okay.
And what do you call a sensible Brad. American? A Canadian.
Okay, we've just alienated everyone.
They drip them in maple syrup.
Yeah. Yum.
And on that note, I think we'll forget the David Letterman story.
Okay. We all know the David Letterman story. Well, it's stupid.
I'm just going to put one more forward here. This will end our film news. But I think Terry Gilliam needs to get a grip.
Oh.
Josh disagrees with me on this one, but I think Terry Gilliam has actually started to mimic his own character. He is chasing windmills. According to the news, according to his own quote, he says, we're up and running again. We've rewritten the script and finally got it back. The budget's come in, and I think we found our Coyote. But who's it going to be? And he says, you'll have to wait till next year to find out.
Of course, Marlon Wayans.
This means that he is going to try and make the man who killed Don Quixote again.
Oh, my God.
So this will be his third attempt on this. His second one, he actually did manage to get into the filming stage and it fell apart. And you can go see The Man from La Mancha, which is a great documentary on this. I think
there's
he just needs to move on to something else.
Really? There is something...
Now, Josh disagrees.
Yeah, I totally disagree. Can I just point
out... Oh, I love when people...
Oh, he's back.
Okay. Oh, he's back.
Yes, now, welcome thank back. You. I'm going to say straight up that one thing I've always admired about Terry Gilliam is the fact that he just keeps going. I mean, he runs into problems with everything he does. He always tries to do very obscure things. He always tries to do movies the way he wants them to, even though he stands basically walking through a gauntlet of producers and people that don't believe believe in him. You know,
that
people
he creates himself
out.
Because exactly. He alienates everyone.
Absolutely, but we have to remember who he is. And I'm saying this is exactly the kind of man he is. And if he's going to walk into this, if nothing else. Like, a lightning strike will hit, it will blow up a truck that he's in, and he will die being the man that tried to resurrect the Don Quixote movie for the third time.
Hopefully
and
on
I
film.
Say, and I say, you know what? Brilliant. The man will go out exactly the way that he wanted
you
to.
You love lost causes, don't you?
I do!
Wait, he brings home puppies and birds with broken wings. And
that's why he's on this show.
Yeah,
and
he tries to rehabilitate people. And what did you? Yeah,
this is Dave signing off. I'm never going to be on the show.
Just a special announcement. This will be Dave because he's last episode.
You can catch me on my own podcast platforms coming to you on Monday at 6 p.m.
7 p.m.
No, that's my own show now. Fuck you guys. I'm just taking the name. I'm saying, Josh, you want to be on my show?
Okay, so well, look, someone just threw a hand grenade into the show. So,
all right, let's move into film reviews. Let's talk movies. Where do we want to go first? Miriam, do you want to go first?
No.
Yeah, right. Do Julie and Julia so I can fall asleep for 10 minutes.
No, do the Blooms Brothers so I can fall asleep.
You just got here, man.
Well, go on. Go do that.
Executive decision. We're doing Brothers Bloom. And here is the trailer.
Had to listen to your mum, didn't you?
Yeah, always.
How'd you find me?
It's actually pretty simple. We're brothers. And I've come to the conclusion that you don't want out. You think you do, but you don't.
Where are we going?
New Jersey.
Let me grab my coat. This will be the last one.
I'll never ask you to do another con again.
The largest private residence on the eastern seaboard, home of our final mark. Penelope Stamp lived at home her whole life.
So what kind of stuff do you do?
I collect hobbies.
Wow.
So, who's in? She's an artist with nitroglycerin. It's kind of her thing.
Maximilian Melville, at your service.
I didn't expect him to actually be Belgian.
I'm not sure he is.
We're taking a steamer at noon tomorrow off the docks.
It's like an adventure story.
What's the con?
We go to St. Petersburg. We are guys in a phony setup who then double-cross us and kill us all. She drives off on the run from imaginary Russians. And we keep her money.
How much?
2.5 million.
You're a genius, Stephen.
The trick to not feeling cheated is to learn how to cheat.
Sometimes I feel like she knows everything.
Okay, she's in position.
Why send her in alone?
Because no one's gonna even know we were ever here.
This is dangerous.
I think a little real danger might suit me.
You built us into this, you're gonna end it.
Bloom, trust me.
You guys seem a little tense.
That's not how this one's gonna end. Are you ready?
This isn't an adventure story.
Well, it totally is!
All right, so that's the Brothers Bloom. Now, Australia is getting this month. The exact release date is not at my fingertips. I think it's in the next 2 weeks. It came out in the States, a couple of months ago now, which is a bit disturbing again. The other good news, just on a side note, is that Moon finally got released here this week. So next week we'll be reviewing Moon, which is another one that Josh and I have been eagerly waiting for.
Is that about Bare Bottoms? What is
that
about?
It's the John Belushi story where from right. Animal House.
All right, when he squeezes his cheeks and out comes pus.
That's right.
No, it's actually about a lone person in a moon base, but we'll get back to that. That's okay. Next week. Anyway, for this week, we're going to talk about The Brothers Bloom. Now, The Brothers Bloom is basically a film about two brothers who are con artists, and we've reached a point in their lives where one of them, Bloom,
Jewish? Jewish con artists?
I don't think they actually specify
that. Are Jews
that.
Con artists ever?
Of I don't course
think they
we are.
No, I don't think they are. They're always too good,
give
aren't
me $20
they?
And I'll tell you.
That's right, be politically incorrect.
All right, so in the Brothers Bloom, Bloom, played by Adrian Brody, basically has decided he wants out, and his brother, played by Mark Ruffalo, basically keeps bringing him back in. They have one last con, which is where they're going to con a very eccentric Rachel Weisz, because she's rich and eccentric and lives alone, and it ends up becoming this adventure of a lifetime for Rachel Weisz. And the film, I've got to say, from the get-go, is probably the most eccentric film I've ever seen in my life. It is... Rachel Weisz's character is beautiful and charming and funny and just sweet as they come. Dave, what did you think?
I'm going to sound Liberace gay by saying this, but she was absolutely delightful. I
say it Liberace gay-like.
Oh, my God, she was absolutely delightful. Like, totally. So, like, wonderful.
Darling.
Speaking of stereotypes.
Everyone in this one show.
I know, a gay Jew gamer. You know, that's for all you cunts out there. There you go. That's everything. I promise that's the last time I'll say it around here. Anyway, okay. I thought it was a really, really enjoyable
Jews
movie.
Rights, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. You know, just because you're a Jew, you know, I think you became a Jew just for the jokes, all right, Ben?
Ben, are you a Jew too? I love Jews. I want to be your token shiksa that your mother hates. Oh, God. Sorry.
What is that? The Saturday Night Live and the shiksa's made a Presbyterian pie.
Show's not serious at all.
You know, it's not.
This is very serious business. Couldn't you tell by the Liberace gay joke?
Totally all right, let's move on. We're going to run out of time. I've promised Little Geek that he will be on the end of this show, so we have to move on. So,
I thought it was a really, really interesting, fun movie. It actually reminded me a lot of Maverick, just as far as tone. It was just like you never really knew what was going on. And all the cast, there was quite a lot of chemistry, but Rachel Weisz was by far the standout performance.
And Bam Bam.
The chick from Babel, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know where she's from because I haven't seen Babel, but she was fabulous.
She was naked in Babel. Go and watch out. 43 minutes, 4 seconds in. She played, she's Japanese, which is, you know, for anyone who knows me, it's not a surprise that I dig those chicks. I was married to one.
That is
my quirk. Some people say Asian fever. I have the plague.
My God.
So, no, it was just something. She was great. She had very, very minimal dialogue, and everything she did packed a punch.
She was fabulous.
It was funny. The chicks really just slayed the guys in this movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was what Ocean's, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 were trying to do, except they didn't do something stupid like, hey, let's have Julia Roberts play Julia Roberts. What a brilliant fucking twist. Yeah, So, I thought that it was handled very nicely.
Or Ellen Barkin show off her plastic surgery. Yeah.
It wasn't as clever as I think it wanted to be. Hmm. I think that I'm not going to spoil anything yet, but the twists at the end were quite predictable.
Well, and this is something that Josh and I were talking about, and I'm going to throw it over to Josh in a second, but I would have to say that I actually preferred the first half of the film to the second half, and we'll talk about that a little bit in spoilers. Josh, what did you think?
I did enjoy it. I'm definitely not at the same level you guys are. I thought, look, at max, that gets sort of an 8 out of 10 from me.
That's pretty high praise from you, though.
Yeah, I know. Look,
it's the greatest movie ever made.
When any film like this comes out and it gets such high praise, I instantly look at it as clinically as I can. And I have to say that, like you were saying, the second half really did start to bore me. Like, it was just so predictable, it was so obvious. With such a strong start, it just fizzed for me at the end. It really did.
Must be time to remake it.
Speaking of remakes, though.
like I was saying, you're right. Dave said it perfectly. I wouldn't have said it any other way. The girls just dominate this film. Like, the guys are just completely
unnecessary.
Yeah, they're almost unnecessary. You know, like, they feed the plot, but really it is about these two characters. The Asian girl from Babel, who I'm not going to try and wreck her name at all by trying to pronounce it. It's Rinko something.
Rinko Kikuchi.
Kikuchi. She is fantastic in this film as well, and I just love her. Just the eccentric nature of both of these characters just makes the film. I mean, the fact that they are just in every scene that they're in, just like these completely quirky people, and Bang Bang for me made the movie. I mean, I have a problem with Rachel Weisz, so I thought she was brilliant in this film, but I still hate her because she's Rachel
Weisz.
Enough.
Okay, so, fair enough.
I do too. Sometimes I agree with you. She can be very mannered.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, there she is doing her thing again.
Yeah, exactly. And she was in that movie. I kept seeing points where she would fall back into Rachel Weisz. I'm like, oh God, stop it.
You see, I agree with you as far as the women, you know, rocking the show. I mean, personally, I would like to see all the men taken out and it become a lesbian love story.
And the women and take
it would be the sisters. It would be the sisters, or maybe the sisters' sisters. They could call it.
Yeah.
And then you know, it would be a bang bang. Would have a totally different meaning, and it would be an absolute beautiful thing. You know? That's the remake that I'm pushing for.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
Mirren's
down with
that. Okay, so the film review has just degenerated. All right, I think that the highlight of this film for me is the getting to know you part between Adrian Brody and Rachel Weisz, where he's basically moving in on her to try and find out more about her and in effect falling in love with her at the same time. But that's where she's showing him the tricks that she's learned. And also the whole introduction to it, like with her and that yellow goddamn the Lamborghini.
The running gag of this
Lamborghini is just a joy.
I think that the palpable sense of how uncomfortable they were around each other at the beginning was so well portrayed in this movie. It wasn't like swingers answering machine irkiness that you sat there and you're like, oh, I'm gonna fucking stab somebody. It was just like you know what, this is what it's like when you're trying to get to know somebody and you don't quite know the rules or the boundaries.
Now, I have to say I don't think it is as strong as Rian Johnson's first film. Rian Johnson, of course, we reviewed on the show his film Brick, which I think is quite simply a minor masterpiece, and for some reason my camera's not switching anymore. So
that's a film about drunk English guys smashing people.
Politically incorrect. I missed it too.
It's
all right. Drink all the time.
We'll listen to playback later, and I'm sure we'll have a wonderful laugh about it.
Can I just say that quick, that I really don't know what Adrian Brody's doing, because, you know, this man...
He's going to go fight predators.
He's got the Oscar curse.
He's got a nose for the role.
He might... You know what? I could get down with that nose. That might be fun.
You know what they say about the size of a man's nose.
Yeah, exactly. He keeps appearing at my argument, as you know, when I train actors and I talk to them about getting their careers together, I say, you know, could anybody else have played that role? And I look at it and I go, yeah, he probably did an okay job. I've only seen the trailer. I haven't seen the movie. It looked too weird. High weirdo factor. But what I'm saying is that what is he doing? It's like he's being in one of every kind of genre of movie till he finds another pianist. I mean, or penis. No, I just don't understand what he's doing. Did he really, you know, like...
Next film will be The Organ Grinder.
As the actor said to the bishop. Okay. I didn't understand why, you know, I think he and Mark Ruffalo both are kind of like people in search of a career.
Both star in this film.
Exactly. So I just find it a bit weird.
I don't think we will go into a spoiler zone on this, because really, we don't really want to spoil it. Because some of the cons you don't really want to spoil on this. Suffice it to say that I actually really enjoyed this film. I thought it was a really charming film. Not as solid as Brick was as a film. I do recommend it, though. I did have a lot of fun watching it. And it is worth watching just for the two women. Other reason.
No. I would also like to say that I enjoyed the performance of Robbie Coltrane playing the curator.
Yes.
One of my standout moments in the film, which does not wreck anything, I'm just going to put this up as the spoiler moment, where they go to knock on his door to talk to him, and he just blows 4 shotgun shell holes through the door, and then just walks out with the shotgun uncocked, and he's just like, sorry. And just like...
Well, he's holding his scotch at the same time.
Doesn't he actually say something along the lines, he goes, sorry, you're early or something? Like it has good moments. It is worth a look. It is a lot of fun, and I do recommend it. It's not going to be to everyone's taste.
No.
The other thing I really liked about this film, I just want to say, point out as well, is that Nathan Johnson, who also did the music for Brick, it's his Rian Johnson's cousin, he did a wonderful score for this film. It's got this real old ragtime kind of old-fashioned con artist type score. It's a really, really fun score. Enjoyed it.
That was the funniest thing about this movie, is that you can tell it's clearly set in modern times, but you feel like you're in a 1950s.
Yes, and the fact that they're all wearing bowler hats.
Yeah,
and stuff like
you
that.
Know, they're all dressed. They're on an old steamer. You know, they're using a lot of a classic European locales. Like, I think it was Prague, which they set it in.
There was no push towards technology in this film.
No, and you can't see what
they really tried to keep it authentic.
Well, the only thing that really gave it away was, like, there are a couple of shots of, you know, like, a couple of graffiti pieces on the background and, you know, the fact that she's gallivanting around in a, what was it, a yellow Lamborghini.
When the police turn up in that one scene, we won't spoil, but when the police turn up, they're modern police cars and they're modern policemen. Mm.
But
you know?
Besides that, you get very sucked into the fact that you're just like, oh, this is an old, you know,
which
the,
gives it, which,
the old caper scene.
Which gives it a real fable kind of feel to the whole film. Is kind of like this fairy tale. And I think it's you could argue that it is because it's from Rachel Weisz's point of view. And she's seeing it as this grand adventure because she's such a little eccentric character anyway. So it's a lot of fun. But we will move on and we'll talk about our second film for today, which Mirren and I went to see last night. And here is the trailer for Julie and Julia.
I'm Julia Child. Bon appetit.
Before she changed the world, Julia Child was just an American living in France.
Shouldn't I find something to do?
What is it that you really like to do?
Eat.
And we are so good at it. Look at you. Now,
they're growing in front of you.
But what does Julia Child have to do with me? Lowly cubicle worker Julie Powell?
So how's your job, Julie?
Are you the person to speak to about my insurance form?
You can speak to me.
Do you have any power?
No.
Heartbreak.
So sad.
Painful.
Not in a bad way.
I don't know.
Do you think I'm lost? Is this lost? If you met me, would you think that woman is lost?
I would think that woman is strangely repetitive.
Did you hear what happened to this one?
Showtime bought my blog for a miniseries.
I could write a blog. I have thoughts.
Write a blog about cooking.
I'm not a real cook like Julia Child.
Julia Child wasn't always Julia Child.
Why don't I go to cooking school? Bonjour!
The Julie/Julia Project. I cook my way through Julia Child's cookbook. 365 days, 524 recipes. I am risking my well-being for a deranged assignment.
Is it crazy?
Yes.
You should have seen the way those men looked at me.
But then they discovered I was fearless.
Now, Julia, you make it sound so simple.
Your book is going to change the world.
What if I don't make my deadline? I've wasted a whole year of my life. I used to be thin and now I'm fat.
Just your face.
And it's supposed to be a big adventure, but it just turns out to be a lot of meltdowns.
Yeah!
There's all of this stuff on the floor!
Oh, never apologize.
From writer-director Nora Ephron.
Good. That is good, isn't it? It's
Meryl Streep, Amy Adams.
I was drowning and she pulled me out of the ocean.
Don't get carried away.
What's for dinner?
What's for dinner?
Oh my God.
You have no real talent for cooking.
Julie and Julia, based on two true stories.
Okay, so that's Julie and Julia, Nora Ephron's new film. And we've actually lost Josh for a moment. Hopefully he'll come back into the studio in a second.
Here he comes.
All right, so Julie and Julia is Nora Ephron's new film, basically telling the story of Julia Child. Now, in Australia, this is kind of irrelevant to everybody, and I don't think this film is going to make dollar squat, because Australians don't even know who Julia Child is. But for the Americans, Julia Child is actually quite a legend.
That's why they put Amy Adams in it.
In the cooking world. And that's right, Amy Adams comes in the second story, which is also a true story, about Julie, who basically set up a blog and decided to work her way through Julia Child's entire cookbook, 511 recipes and 365 days, and blog the entire thing. Now, the reason why I think you need the Amy Adams story is it kind of gives it a contemporary feel to what's going on. There has been a lot of argument about this film that why didn't they just make a biopic of Julia Childs? Because I don't think it would have actually been as interesting to tell a two-hour story of just Julia Child's life, whereas this actually adds a little bit of dynamics to it. That being said, Julia Child's section of the film is by far the better section of the film. And Meryl Streep playing Julia Child is phenomenal. I mean, she absolutely...
And I'd like to say that right there, because everybody prejudges Meryl now because they're also used to her, you know, woman in search of an accent. And And she has done a lot of things that were mistakes and all that. And I go up and down with Meryl, and I know that Atomic Betty, you know, can't stand Meryl. And you shouldn't let that stop you, because this movie, she has done something remarkable. Julia Child was a caricature of herself. She was hysterical. And Meryl has taken this caricature and made her real. And she made me cry. She made me cry. It was so sweet. And I'm telling you, there are moments, because, you know, she couldn't have children. It was a really nice moment. Anyway, I'm just saying that this film is a lot, I think a lot of people are prejudging this film, and you're morons. And really, you should go see this film, because it's got a lot of really good stuff in it. And it's a really quite fun, you know, interesting film for a lot of reasons. It's fun to watch the Americans, you know, in Paris. You know, she never really did, I think, learn to speak French.
No.
It was hysterical. Jane Lynch is in it, who a lot of you know from Glee right now, and she's playing her sister, and it was hysterical. And it's just really a lovely film. Stanley Tucci's doing it. Stanley Tucci does. But the thing that really pisses me off is chick flicks and dick flicks. Okay, you know, I'm getting a bit sick of the chick flick, dick flick argument. Because
look, I'll be honest, I hated this movie. I haven't seen
you're
it.
You're a moron.
I haven't seen it.
I'm just saying, you're one of the people I'm talking to. I'm looking at you and prejudging you,
yeah, you
because
see,
you're an idiot.
I get all right, prejudged all the time.
So, yeah, right, okay. So, well, it's well-known Jews have no taste. Okay, so
let me just say.
Have you seen Hollywood? My people, we have lots of money in Hollywood, okay? So,
yeah, everybody says LA has no taste, you know. So I'm just saying that we go to, the thing that pisses me off, we go to see Julia, and we're seeing all these goddamn chick flick trailers come up, including Hello, All About Steve, which we saw the trailer a year ago, and Dave and I are going, this seems familiar.
This is an interesting situation.
With what's her face?
Yeah, Sandra Bullock's new film. We saw a trailer a year ago for this film. And we saw the trailer again last night.
Hello?
Have we seen
this
before?
Bizarre.
It's like we're kind
but
of.
But
like,
my argument is this: I don't think that when you go to a film, whether it's a comic book film or a chick flick film or whatever, do we have to make them all the same? Can't we go, hey, if you like this film, maybe you'll like something in a different genre? Why did I have to watch four chick trick? What, you know what I'm trying to say?
No,
trailers
I like
in
the
a
chick
row.
Trick. I like that idea.
Chick
right.
trick.
And I just, you know, I know you thought it was a lesbian film, and you're disappointed, and that's why you won't go see it.
No, because if Meryl Streep was in it and it was a lesbian film, I would not fucking do it. If you had Scarlett Johansson and Jessica Biel, then perhaps I'd go and check it out.
And just when I thought you couldn't get any more shallow, you let a little more
water
out of the pool.
Oh, there are depths to my shallow.
Yeah, there are depths to your
shallow. Seriously.
And I just think that we've got to, they need to stop just doing the trailer that suits that particular, that, you know, I'm my voice is starting to go because I sound like sound like I've been sucking the chrome off of a 57 Chevy, and that's a blowjob joke, and that's okay because that's kind of film.
I was the 57 Chevy.
You wish. Oh my God.
I'm a 67 Mustang.
All right, so let's wrap up this review. See it or not see it?
Of course, you've got to be honest. Because it's interesting to watch somebody, I don't know who else could have done it, and made the character, make me cry. No, make the character so. Julia Child was like Dan Aykroyd in the Saturday Night Live skit. She was hysterical.
Which, in fact, they watched during this film.
And Meryl made her accessible. And Amy Adams does what Amy Adams does. And I think it's worth seeing if you like good acting. If you don't like good acting, go watch a stupid Thor movie or something.
Seriously, don't go and watch this movie.
No,
I would concur. I'd say this film is actually far better than I thought it would be. A lot of reviews have come out about this film where they've actually talked about the fact that it should have just been Meryl's film, and why did they have to put in the subplot. No, I actually think the subplot works quite well.
Yes.
I think Amy Adams is very sweet. I think that Stanley Tucci as Julia Child, the husband of Julia Child, is just charming. Mm. And there's beautiful moments in this film where he just watches her cook, and he's just so devoted to her. I mean, it's just a lovely performance. It's a lovely film. Nora Ephron does produce films that are touching and funny and witty. And guys out there, if you're worried about it emasculating you, it won't. It is actually a good date film to take. So you've dragged your girlfriend to every action film in
town. Right.
Maybe it's one for her. And this one, you won't get bored watching.
And at
it.
The end of the day, you know, I know there's no depth in today's generation, but could we just say that it was about a woman who really didn't really get started until she was like 40. And, you know, she went on to create out of nothing something that changed the face of cooking. We have the Lifestyle Channel and the cooking shows today because of Julia Child. And I mean, it is a historically interesting thing.
I like the point that Scott's World in our chat room is basically says, I love the way the preview shows the whole bloody movie. So we know, happy ending. Yeah, you do. But the thing about this film is it's actually not about the ending.
And it doesn't have 100% happy ending, doo-doo head, because there is something in there that's quite sad at the end.
And it's also not this is a sort of film you can't spoil because it's not actually.
Am I allowed to insult the guests?
Not really, no.
Chat room. You're not a doo-doo head.
Me.
Okay, sorry.
Insult the fellow co-host.
All right, Dave.
Try not to insult the audience.
Dave next to me is a doo-doo head.
Look, I have to say,
it's about the journey, basically. Yeah.
I mean, look, anyone going into a lesbian film expecting a happy ending is sorely deluding themselves, and that's all I'm going to say.
All right, look. On that note, I think we're going to wrap this up because we have degraded into all sorts of pits of hell. So we will wrap this up, and we will say that if you want to send feedback on this show, if you want to tell us what you thought, about this show, send your feedback.
We didn't even get to remakes and reimaginings.
That's the after show.
Oh, the after show. I'm sorry.
Just for those who are in our chat room.
It speaks. It's back. Yes, you.
What?
You, grotto boy.
I'm coming in. I'm talking now. Okay, I'm done.
Oh, by the way, on that note, Brad, did you know that Yellowbeard has just been released on DVD?
Is that a porn show?
No. Well, oh. You don't know Yellowbeard?
It sounds like a blonde who needs a wax job. I actually
didn't like Yellowbeard that much, but that's beside the point.
You're dead to me, Dad.
I have no son.
I think this is an old person thing because I have no idea.
I'm
wondering.
What, over 30?
Do the microphones still pick up when they're inserted anally? I think that's a
question. All right,
I'm going to give Josh a little sample.
All right, guys, we're gonna bring this to an end so that we can actually do an after show today. For those who are in our chat room, we are running an after show today. We're going to talk about remakes, and that will be available to the audio listeners on Wednesday. So that should be a lot of fun, and you can join us for that. In the meantime, we're going to move out of here. Where can we find more information about you, Dave, if we want to find you?
You can find me at hotlesbianswithhappyendings.com. I will be there week.
I'm there.
I will be hanging around with the labia lapping lovelies, and it should be a beautiful, beautiful thing. No, you can friend me on Facebook. I am a whore, so you'll find me there. Facebook.com/thingy with Dave, Kaziki, K-O-Z-I-C-K-I.
And this week I have decided myself, David is telling me that it's not about having real friends, and so he's decided, I've decided to be a whore as well, so I've decided to have anybody on Facebook. I've only had a few friends because I thought it was about real friends, and it's not? Okay, good. No. So I'm a whore, so it's Mirren Lee.
So Mirren Lee on Facebook, you can find out more, and you can also find out more about Mirren at MirrenLee.com.
MirrenLee.com, and we will be talking about this film. It sounds really interesting that I'm going to do the dialect coaching for that David mentioned, the 25th Reich. I just heard from the director today. This is going to be really interesting. And, you know, people out there, just one little thing, the director is really trying to figure out with the six leads where to have them all come from in the States and the dialect coaching. So if anybody has any ideas of what they'd like to hear accent-wise, dialect-wise, that might just be interesting. Oh, I want to hear a guy from, you know, I don't know.
Well, send those suggestions to...
As a Jew, that's scary.
Well, oh, it is. You know what happens? Hitler wins. But it's aliens meets Hitler. So it's,
okay,
it's,
so it's, we'll throw that out. So jump into our forum at geekactually.com/forum and throw some suggestions.
Because there's
going to
be
six
American GIs in 1942 Australia at a base here, and so they will be dialects from the 1942 version, like, you know, Connecticut was different then. And we're trying to figure out what sounds he wants to have. Maybe a Brooklyn. I think Bronx would be better because it's a bit stronger, and so on and so on. So that might be fun to give us some ideas of what you'd like to hear.
I like gangsters. Take that, Hitler.
Okay, Josh, where can we find out more about you? Where can we find more information about you?
He's going back to the home.
I dare to throw this out to you. Where can we find out more about you, Josh?
Damn you. You put me on edge every time because I'm never sure to come up with something like this. To be honest, I don't know. Wandering around the city today. I'm just glad to be back in Sydney. As much as I love the people in Brisbane because they are much nicer than Sydneyites. I'm sorry, I'm going to go there. They may be slow.
You're a nice person for a Kiwi,
that may be true, man, but the first thing that happened when I was walking through the airport is some dude going into arrivals, walks through, pushes my bags out of the bay, and steps on my foot, and I'm like, welcome home.
Oh, can I just say before...
That's because he noticed you're a douchebag.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't. You're dead.
Stop
to me.
Out of love.
I have no Dave. Listen to me. I just want to say very quickly to that douchebag out there who said something about Josh's Kiwi dialect. You are a fucking moron. because
there you go.
You know, and I didn't even. I'm a really accomplished dialect coach. You know, and I didn't even hear it. I mean,
obviously
you know,
not that accomplished.
I mean, shut the fuck up. He doesn't say fish and chips. And anyway, who doesn't love a Kiwi dialect? And you know. You're a douchebag. Okay, that's all I
All right, good. All right,
wow.
So,
you know what? I didn't
And I love you, Josh.
No, you didn't. Thank you for defending our...
She like came over the top like the big brother or something and just whipped that guy down.
You go and bitch slap
You go ahead and criticize the South African dialect, but you do not criticize the Kiwi dialect. I love the Kiwis. They are my friends.
All right, so we're going to move out of here. Just to explain very quickly about the film that Mirren is talking about.
Kiwis and Jews, Dave. It's okay.
Thank you. Just to explain a little bit about this film, we actually mentioned this last week. We're trying to raise funds to send one or more of us down to Melbourne to actually do an on-set coverage of the making of this science fiction film.
It'll be fun. They're going to do CGI.
Absolutely. So donations are accepted at the Support Us link on Geek Actually to help send us down to Melbourne to cover this
making
of this film.
Come on, every few bucks help.
This is a science fiction geek film made in Australia. We should be excited
about
this.
And they're really excited about doing their CGI, which is going to be interesting. Lots of Nazis in CGI. How about that?
Cool.
I don't understand how this film couldn't work.
Oh, no, I think they
would. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%. Anyway, you can find out more about...
The script isn't finished.
Order in the house, please.
Sorry.
We can find out more about me at twitter.com/DaveMcVeigh or facebook.com/DaveMcVeigh, or you can actually just send anything to feedback@geekactually.com.
I'm also in Farmville.
And a neighbor, Mirren and I are both in Farmville. Neighbor us today. We will send you topiary. Okay. In the meantime...
I want goats.
I've actually lost my my audio here. Here we go. In the meantime, go see more movies. Enough movies. All of life's questions are answered with movies, and we will talk to you more next week.
I can't even get that out without talking. You guys are fucking incredible.
We are incredible. Like, you tell people that.